In heaven. So it represents the victorious Christian life. Amen? It has to, which we do have to fight for. And just remember tonight as we look into the scriptures together that the initial wilderness, the crossing from Egypt to the Jordan River, that was part of God's plan for Israel, for their growth, for their learning, for their understanding God and so forth. But the wandering that God is about to send them on, that was not God's perfect will for Israel, was it? And for us as Christians, we're going to go through wilderness experiences. We're going to go through tests and trials. But it is not God's will that we wander. And so that's good to know as we look in verses 25 to 35 tonight. The Bible says, "Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, every day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness shall they be consumed, and there they shall die." So our title tonight is Wander in the Wilderness. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the privilege to open your word this evening. May we continue to learn from Israel's experience, from their behavior. And Lord, may we learn tonight what your perfect will is for each of our lives and what it isn't. And may we grow through it. So may the Holy Spirit use the word in our hearts. We give you this service in Christ's name. We pray. Amen. So God did not destroy them, thanks to Moses' intercessory prayer. But they are still going to be punished, aren't they? And what is the main thing that God keeps pointing to but that word murmur? He said in verse 27, "I've heard the murmurings which they murmur." Look what it does, last two words, "against me." Now, they often murmured against Moses, but God always took it personally and said, "Yes, you're murmuring against Moses, but you're actually murmuring against me." I don't think it's a coincidence that at the beginning of this chapter, which is what God's referring to, was the seventh time that Israel murmured. God is always a God of sevens, isn't he? And just to review, Exodus 14 was the first one at the Red Sea. Exodus 15 was the second one at Marah, where there was no water. Exodus 16 was the third one where they had no food. Exodus 17 was the fourth one, again, no water. Numbers 11 was the fifth one where they complained at Taberah. Numbers 11, then again, they wept about the manna and complained. And then at the beginning of this chapter was number 7, where they murmured about the promised land and said they couldn't go in. So God says to them in 28, here in the passage, "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you." So what does he mean by that? We'll look up in verse 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now God says, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to die in the wilderness. But they said it in a way that essentially saying, we would have been better off to either die in Egypt or to die in the wilderness. That was the murmuring. And so God says, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Yes, you said you'd be better off to die in the wilderness. That's what you're going to get. You're going to die in the wilderness. Isn't that sad? But again, verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So God is definitely not ambiguous about why he's angry, is he? It's all about the murmuring. And murmuring, of course, as we know, stems from lack of faith, lack of trust in the Lord. But this picture's for us as God's children, Christians who don't go anywhere for God, but they're wandering in the wilderness. They won't cross the Jordan. They won't trust God. They won't give up the sin that's hindering them. They just wander. And they wander and they wander. Sometimes God even chastises with death, even Christians, doesn't he? We know this from 1 Corinthians. Let's turn there quickly, chapter 11 and verse 30. Because we're looking here at Israel, they're about to be chastised with death in the wilderness, all those that are older than 20 years old. But that hasn't changed. We can still keep pushing God's buttons until he says it's enough. 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And we all know he's not talking about taking a nap here, don't we? And when God talks about sleeping, he's talking about Christians who have died. He never says that about the unsaved, but the saved, he says they sleep. Why? Because we never die. He had to explain that to the disciples when he said he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. He said he sleepeth, and they said, what's good that he sleeps? He needs his rest. Jesus said, he died. He had to make it plain what he was saying. So does God still chastise with death? Ultimately, yes, if you keep pushing his buttons. I'm not saying it seven times, but I'm saying, why? Why do this to the Lord and not expect consequences? And of course, verse 30, Caleb and Joshua are the exception. 2 out of 3 million. Just think about that number for a moment. 2 out of 3 million. That's pretty low percentage, wouldn't you say? I'm not going to ask Brent to give us the actual percentage, but we know it's very tiny. We know it's 0.0000 something, don't we? So how many Christians are preventing their own selves from entering into the promised land through lack of faith? How many Christians are preventing themselves from entering the promised land for murmuring, for not trusting God but complaining? God wants us all to cross the Jordan, amen, and enter that promised land and live a life of service, live a life of faithfulness, live a life of fruitfulness, live a life of trusting God, of fearing God, of walking in the Spirit of God. This is what he wants for every Christian. Living a life of peace and joy and contentment and gratitude. He wants every Christian to cross the Jordan and take the mountain, as we've been singing. A life of love, forgiveness, edification, gentleness. We could go on and on. This is what he wants from all of us. But so many Christians won't trust God, won't believe it's possible, or complain about their circumstances, and they're just wandering. And they're not going anywhere. They're just going in circles, which is exactly what Israel did for 40 years. Can you imagine? 40 years of wandering in circles. And so he says, verse 31, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. So when one of the murmurings, they said, well, our poor children, they're going to die. God says, actually, your children are going to live and you're going to die. How sad. And your carcasses, anybody over 20, except for Joshua and Caleb, they shall fall in the wilderness. So, again, the wilderness, the initial wilderness crossing, that was part of God's plan. He intentionally put them to the Red Sea where they couldn't escape. Why? To teach them. He intentionally brought them to a place where there was no water. Why? To teach them. No food. To teach them. Every one of those steps, which all seven times resulted in murmuring from Israel, those were planned by God to teach them a lesson of some sort, and they failed all seven times. Isn't that sad? Rather than learn the lesson, they complained. So can we push God until he pulls back that hedge of protection and lets us wander? Yes, we can. And 40, of course, we all understand is a very significant number in Scripture, isn't it? But even just talking specifically about this story, how long did Moses live in the desert before God called him at the burning bush? 40 years. How long did he live in Egypt before he went to the desert? 40 years. How long was he on the mountain when God called him up to get the law? 40 days. Why 40 days? Why not 30 days? Why not 20 days? Why 40? How long did the spies search out the land? 40 days. How long did Jesus fast in the desert? 40 days. So 40 is a very significant number in Scripture. It represents testing, as we see. And 40 years is a long time to wander. Take it from someone who's over 40. Amen, Mark? It's a long time. Verse 34, "And ye shall know my breach of promise." Now, God never breaks his promises. Amen? Never. Let's look at Numbers 23:19 and we'll see this. God never, ever breaks his promises. But sometimes they have to be delayed, as in this case. Did God promise he would take Israel into the promised land? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Did he do it when he initially planned? No. He had to put it off for 40 years. But that was because of Israel's behavior. Numbers 23:19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God, which cannot lie. God can't lie. So if God makes a promise, God's going to keep the promise. But he never, or often, does not give us a time, does he? He doesn't say, well, I will keep that promise on this date. And that was the case here. Israel did get to go into the promised land, just like he told them they would. And you know what? They're even going to get the whole promised land and their kingdom, which he promised them. He's going to keep that promise. So far, we're at 3,000-year delay. Wow, that's a big chunk of time, isn't it? But again, is that God's fault or Israel's fault? Israel's the one that began to sin and turned their back on God, and we had all those wicked kings, and now they've been dispersed for 3,000 years. But they still will get, the promise will still be answered. And so, God keeps his promises, never forget that. But we cannot order God around. We can't tell God what to do. We can only come to him in humility and beg his mercy. But I want us to see here in verse 35, when God talks about all this murmuring, how he sees it from his perspective. He says, "I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me." So you've often heard me say that murmuring against God is almost blasphemous. God said it. He says, you, every time you complain, it is the same as gathering against me. Because you're essentially saying God isn't good, or God's making a mistake, or God doesn't know what he's doing, which none of those things are true. So from his perspective, Israel gathered against him, their own rescuer from Egypt, the one who provided in the desert, water from a rock and manna from the heavens. He says, they've gathered against me. So remember that. Murmuring against God, he sees it as gathering against him, which is why he hates it so much. And so this seventh murmur was the final murmur that, well, it's not the final murmur. Don't misquote me, because there's more murmuring to come in the desert. But it was the final murmur for God as far as taking them into the promised land. This was it. God's not going to change his mind again and say, oh, okay, you don't have to wander the desert for 40 years. I'm going to let you go in. Nope. It's done. They're going in. They're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone over 20 dies. And then they're going to go into the promised land. Under the leadership, of course, of Joshua, Moses' replacement. So that number 7 is significant. The number 40 is significant in Scripture, isn't it? And let's never forget that when God is murmured against, how he sees it, gathered against me. And let's just not be a Christian that wanders. Amen? That's not what God wants. We've all heard about Christians being put on a shelf. We've all heard about servants being put on a shelf. This is what it's talking about. When Christians just keep complaining, keep refusing to trust God and go in and live the victorious Christian life and end up wandering until Jesus comes. We all know that's not God's will. Amen? God's will is that we live that abundant life. Let's look at John 10:10 that Jesus promised he would give us. That's God's will for every single believer in Jesus Christ, that we cross the Jordan and that we take that mountain. Whatever it might be for you, God has a plan. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus doesn't just want you to have life. He wants you to have the abundant life. Now the life, that's through salvation. The abundant life, that's up to us. We've got to be willing to cross the river. And we've got to be willing to get our sword out and fight for every piece of land that God wants us to have. It's definitely not his will that we put the sword back in its sheath and turn back the other way and walk in circles, which so many Christians do. So let's not wander in the wilderness. Amen. Let's cross the Jordan. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word and for these great lessons from your people. And may we as your people, Lord, learn the lessons. May we not murmur. May we not complain. May we trust you and believe you and be willing to go in and fight for the life you want us to have of service and faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room, anyone online even that knows they're wandering, that they would stop. They would sort out what needs to be sorted and cross that Jordan. So thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.